Vine Lake family. I hope y'all are doing well. So thankful that we all are here together. And if you're joining us online, we're so thankful that you're here. I know that today we're all coming in tonight after a full day of work or being with kids or being at home. We're all walking in with maybe some really joyful things that we're bringing in or some really heavy things that we're bringing in. But can we all connect together tonight and just bless the Lord? That whatever we're walking in with, that God is God, that He never changes, that He's always worthy, that He's always good. And so before we come asking, let's come into the presence with singing and thanksgiving, with blessing, with joy, with thankfulness, because our God is good, because He's holy. So let's bless Him together. Let's bless Him together in worship. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. We sing like never before. Oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul.
His holy name because we believe that there is power in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that tonight? There is power in the name of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power to break chains. There is power to break strongholds. There is power to bring healing and peace in your life. I'm going to lead you in a new song tonight. And I want you to think on that truth tonight as we speak the name of Jesus over everything. There's power.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Oh, yes, we do. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus, 'cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is
Darkness over every enemy.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life.
Come on, from your heart, believe.
You'll break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows.
Lord, we declare that. I can feel my faith even rising as I sing that. There's power in your name, Jesus. So I'm calling on you tonight. I'm calling on you. It's in your name we pray. It's in your name we've sung all these things. Amen.
Hey, you guys can be seated. I'm thankful that you're here tonight. We're speaking the name of Jesus tonight, and there may be some of you who think or are thinking potentially, hey man, you know, I appreciate the singing, but I came here to pray tonight. And what I want to say to you is that all of us gathered, whether you're online or at one of our campuses tonight, there's a vital link between your worship of the name of Jesus, worshiping the person of Jesus, and the power of God, even to know how to pray, and then the releasing of the power of God when you pray. Okay, so I want to say that again kind of more plainly. There's a vital connection between you learning to worship Jesus, to worship God, to lift faith and praise to God. There's a vital link in you learning how to do that in the middle of any circumstance, and you're knowing what to pray and how to pray about the problem you're living in. Okay, so when we come and we're here tonight, man, I'm so thankful that we're here, that you've come to go to war tonight. That's what we're learning is that, listen, I'm a warrior in this house. I'm a warrior for the kingdom of God. You're here tonight to go to war, and we're going to do that. And we're learning how to pray with power, right? We talked about that on Sunday. Our hearts are given to God. Now teach me how to pray with power. And so we want to learn to do that. And I want us to pray with power. But tonight what we're going to do is we're going to flip the script a little bit and say that the key to learning to pray with power is actually learning not to ask something from God first, but to actually give something to God first. Okay, so here's a way of thinking about it. Many times whenever we come to God in times of worship or prayer, what we want is God's hand. God, what I need you to do is I need you to move. I need you to release. I need you to give. I need you to strengthen. I need you to sustain, right? I need God to manifest and move, right? Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you're praying for right now? God, do it. God, bring healing, bring relief, whatever that is. We want God's hand. But here's what we're going to learn tonight. That what God really wants you to do, and many times when we're seeking his hand, we forget about his face, we forget about his presence. God, I just want you. But it's possible to want God's hand and miss his face. And here's what I want to say to you tonight. Here's what we're going to learn tonight. This is going to, I pray, shape the way you pray and worship and live from now on. If you will start seeking the face of God, you will always get the hand of God. If all you seek is the hand of God, you may miss his face and his hand because that's about you. That's about you. And so what we're learning tonight in our praying as warriors, we are spiritual sons and daughters. And what we give to God first is our heart and our worship and our praise. And so tonight we're going to learn a concept. It's in the scripture throughout, you're going to see, but it's called ministering to the Lord. Okay? And this is vital to your prayer life. This is vital to your praying with power and insight and living with victory in your life. I'm convinced of it. Learning to minister to the Lord. Now, the scripture we're going to read tonight, very briefly, it comes from the book of Acts. In the New Testament, this is the first time this idea of ministering to the Lord is mentioned. In Acts chapter 13, this is what the scripture says. Now, there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord, there it is, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, they were seeking his face, right, ministering to God, the Holy Spirit said, they all of a sudden get his hand, his voice, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then when they had fasted and prayed, talked about that, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. When it says that they were ministering to the Lord, here's what that word ministering means. It means to dispense a service for free. It's a Greek compound word that means laity and energy, that people give their energy to God. That's the idea. Now, this concept is throughout the Old Testament. It's this concept of ministering to the Lord throughout. Aaron, Moses, in my L3 reading today, five times it says Aaron is going to minister to the presence of the Lord. There's an entire tribe of the sons of Israel, the Levites. Their job was 24/7 to lift up praise and to bless and to minister to the name and the presence of God. The whole design of the tabernacle and the temple was so that God could be praised 24/7. Deuteronomy verse 10, chapter 10, verse 8 says, at that time the Lord said, set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark of the covenant of the Lord. That represented his very presence, the ark of the covenant, right? They carried that on poles. That's what the Levites did. They literally carried physically what represented the presence of God. That's what they're going to do. They're going to stand before the Lord to serve him and to bless in his name until this day. So kind of breaking that down, here's what they did. They carried the presence of the Lord on poles, right, that was symbolically represented by the Ark of the Covenant. They would stand before him. Now, that Hebrew word stand literally means this. Their job was to just be still. Their job was to tarry, to linger, to wait on God. Please hear this. Sometimes what God wants from us is not for us to talk. What he wants for us to do is to be still and just be present with him. Come on, anybody married to somebody who just likes you to be close? Right? They really prefer you not to say anything because you'll mess up the moment. But if you'll just be here with me, right? That's the idea. God wants you to simply be there with him, to acknowledge God is here, to serve him. And that literally means to do tasks, assign tasks, but also to bless in his name. That's what they did. The idea of blessing literally means to kneel down, to get on your knees. Remember Sunday we talked about how Elijah got on his knees and put his face to the ground like he's in the fetal position on the floor, a position of honor to God, a position of helplessness, God, I cannot do this without you. This was their job, to get on their faces and to lift up praise and blessing to God. So sometimes ministering to the Lord is doing something, but for us right now, what we're learning is that ministering to the Lord is blessing his name, praising for him for who he is, and being still in his presence. To listen. David, whenever he was moving the Ark of the Covenant. In 1 Chronicles 16, 4, he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the Ark of the Lord to minister in front of the presence of God, to celebrate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. These guys' job, their job as ministering to the Lord, check this, was to celebrate, to remember how awesome God is, to call to mind his mighty acts, to meditate on the goodness of God. That was their job. Was just to celebrate, God, you are amazing. You are awesome. And to thank him. And the idea of thanking him literally means to raise up praise, to lift up your hands to praise to God. It's the picture. The Hebrew word actually means to throw, okay? To just throw up your praise, to lift up your praise, like you're throwing things up to heaven. Come on, y'all ever seen people raise their hands in worship? And you're like, dude, what is going on with you? You know, you think maybe they got, they're directing traffic, they're with the worship team. You know, maybe you wonder, and you're like, man, I was not raised in that tradition. You need to know in the Word of God, it's a biblical thing. While you're praying, while you're worshiping, at times, maybe even on your knees, to just lift up your hands and say, Jesus, your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is light. And I just praise you. I just throw that up to you. So raising your hand, listen, don't do it unless you mean it. But it is indeed in the scripture that part of what we do when we minister at home alone in the privacy of your own room is just on your knees or on your couch bed laying flat out, just say, God, I praise you. I just bless you. So they're celebrating, they're thanking God, they're praising him, it says. Now, the Hebrew word praise is the word hallel, kind of like when we say holla, right? Y'all ever heard, hey, holla, right? You're going to holler out something. That's the idea. Part of celebrating God is I raise my hands, but listen, I raise my voice. I lift my voice to shout the praise of God. I shout the goodness of God with a joyful heart. With a joyful heart. Okay, so sometimes even, listen, a little coaching moment right here, teaching moment right here. Sometimes whenever we're in worship and somebody is genuinely feeling God and saying, God, thank you, bless you. That can either be a distraction for you, or you can say, God, thank you, I bless you too. Are you with me? So our heart is not to pour water on somebody else's fire, man. Our desire is to say, God, I bless you. I praise you. That's fully within the confines of what God is teaching us to do as we praise and worship God. Psalm 134, verse 1 says, behold, bless the Lord, all servants of the Lord. That's you. Bless the Lord. All of you who serve by night in the house of the Lord, lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Now that's a part of what it is to minister to the Lord in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, you're now called a priest, right? The Levites were the priests. They're the ones appointed, but now you're the priest. 1 Peter 2:5 says, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. That's us, church. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I am so thankful that you're here. Because what we're doing right now is we're not having a service. What we're doing right now is we are becoming a spiritual house. We're becoming a spiritual house that the Spirit of God would be happy to inhabit. So that as we praise God and as we call on God and ask God to move, it ain't a long distance call, y'all. This, we walk intimately with God in this house because we know we're a spiritual house. We're a spiritual people lifting up praise. Revelation 1:6 says he made us to be a kingdom of priests to him. 'Tis God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever and ever. We are made to be priests. And listen, just like the priest carried the ark in the Old Testament on the pole, 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, You now are the carrier of the Spirit, the presence of God. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you've been bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Here's what I'm asking you to step toward for a moment, that you tonight have an identity as a priest before God who carries the very Holy Spirit of God with you. And he wants you, as much as you ask for God to do things by his mighty hand, he wants you to learn first to bless his holy name and seek his face. Okay, you with me? Now, this is a switch because most of us skip that part. We skip the worship part. Hey, let's just get down to the preaching.
We skip that. I just want to tell God what's on my mind. We pray. And I'm telling you, worship, you're ministering to God, even in prayer, you're ministering to God is the key to you hearing from God, knowing what to pray, and experiencing his power in prayer. Now, this church in Acts is praying, they're ministering to the Lord. And that was an intentional act. And so, look, we're doing this tonight. We're going to do this for a few minutes, but I'm saying from now on, I speak over you. From now on, you minister to the Lord always. You with me? Not just when you need something. This is your new identity. You are a minister to the Lord every day. You should set aside time intentionally to say to God, God, I just want to bless the holy name of Jesus. God, I want to just say your name is higher. Your name is greater. Your name is life. That's what we do every day. Listen, every Sunday is a calling together of the body to minister to the presence of Jesus. That's why you should come every week. Certainly, I hope you get something out of it, his hand. But if all you want is his hand and you're not seeking his face, you're probably going to miss both. Y'all with me? You ever had that experience? Just didn't get anything out of it. That's not always the preacher's fault. Come on now, sometimes that's your fault. You was looking for the wrong thing. So what we're learning tonight is, as we pray in just a minute, we're going to minister to Jesus. We're going to minister to God and through his name. We're going to exalt him first. And then as we do that, we're going to see what happens as he teaches us what to pray and changes our perspective. There's an intentionality. There's an intentionality to focus your mind. Your mind can drift. Your mind can wander, and you can get caught up on different things. You're going to intentionally bring your mind back to, I am here to meet with you. And that requires focus. There's some intentionality and there's some focus where I'm setting my heart on God. And part of what will help you to focus on God is to be reminded of his goodness. And I think there are at least two ways you can do that. One way is through the Word of God. That's why this book becomes a prayer book. Whenever you're reading about David and Goliath, or you're reading about the parting of the Red Sea, or Daniel in the lion's den, or you're reading about God moving on behalf of Esther in the scripture, or watching over Mary, what you're reminding yourself of is, God, you've done it before, you can do it again. And it's a focusing of our attention. And so daily you should let the Word of God lead you maybe to focus on God. But sometimes it's our life experiences that we can look back on and just say, God, I just want to think back on my own life and say you are faithful. Y'all ever do that? You ever think back on your life and how crazy you've been, some of the stuff he's brought you through? I do that from time to time. And I was doing that recently, and I remembered a three-wheeler wreck I had one time. Come on, you know, anybody remember three-wheelers? All the young folks, they know about four-wheelers. Look, the strong men used to ride three-wheelers, right? It was like a kid's tricycle with a 100-horsepower motor on it or something. And I remember trying to go up this hill, and it got off balance, and I went off the side, and I'm just seeing this three-wheeler coming right at me, and it just bounced right over the top of me. Now, my first thought was, God, don't let my mama find out. But my second thought was, God, you just spared me. And I can think about 100 different things like that. I can think about my life growing up as a junior in high school, 16 years old. My mom and dad said, we're going to move from one city to another. And I'm like, man, y'all have a good time. I hope y'all have a great time. I got my driver's license. I can drive across the state of Mississippi. That ain't no hard thing. Right? I just get on 82 and go from Columbus to Greenville every other weekend. I'll see y'all. Because I had a girlfriend, and I had a basketball team, and I had some friends. And whenever my mom and dad made me move, I was mad as you know what. But in hindsight, I look back and say, God was sparing me. I just want to bless the name of Jesus. I don't know why. I'm just telling you. There's a part of us that gets reminded, God, you've been so good to me, and so I bless you and I praise you. I want to bless your name. These people are blessing his name, telling God who he is and what he's done. And we're just focusing on him and then listening. Somehow, in the midst of blessing and ministering to God, the Holy Spirit began to speak, which means they were giving him room. They were giving the Spirit of God room to speak. They were being still. That's what ministering is, right? Partly it's being still. They're giving him room to speak, and he spoke. And so tonight, in moments, I'm going to ask you just to be quiet. Stop praying. Stop
talking. Don't think of more stuff. Just be still and listen. And as you're still to listen, I believe that the Lord is going to speak. He may give you a verse to claim. He may give you a picture in your mind that's just very, very meaningful to you. There may be a leading or a prompting that He gives you to do something or to pray something or to say something. And you're going to know this is coming from you, Lord. Now, if you have a question about that, you need to check it against the Scripture. If that prompting doesn't line up with Scripture, don't go with the prompting. If you can't find a verse, find you some brothers and sisters in Christ and say, hey, listen, this is what I think God's asking me to do. Does it sound like something God would ask somebody like me to do? And you get confirmation, but then you minister out of what God says. I sometimes get people give me a word. I got a word for the Lord, from the Lord for you, Chip. I'm like, okay, let's hear it. And they give me a word, and y'all, it doesn't resonate with me a bit. And I'm like, I appreciate that. I ain't going to pour water on your fire, but I don't even know what you're talking about. There have been other times when people have come up to me and said, I think God's given me a word to give to you. And I remember a specific time several years ago, a guy walked up to me on a Wednesday night and said, man, God just has prompted me to say to you that He sees you and He knows what you're doing and He's proud of you. And I can't tell you in that moment what that meant to me. But that was birthed out of a night of ministering to God and a life that ministers to God. You with me? As you do that, God begins to move. And I'm convinced that as we pray this way tonight, God's going to give you revelation. I believe God's going to give you strength to stay. He's going to give you encouragement in your battle. And I believe God's going to manifest His presence. And so I want to invite us all to pray. I want to invite us all to pray. Across the room right now, it may help you to just bow your head. I'm going to lead you. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to lead you to just pray some names of God back to God. And I want to ask you to do this. I'm going to explain the name as best I can. And I want you to imagine the Scripture taking place. So in your mind, I want you to imagine this Scripture that's taking place. Well, I want us to start. I want you to just bless God tonight for being the God Most High. He is God Most High. Abraham went into battle, and he had no business going into that battle. But God Most High was on his side. And he was outnumbered and overmatched and undermanned. But God Most High brought him through. And when he got through, a king named Melchizedek, the Prince of Peace, came to him and said, God Most High gave you this victory. And so God's revealing his name. He's the God Most High. Here's what that name means. It means he is extreme in his sovereignty and his majesty. Could you just use your mind right now? Don't think about your problems. You just think about God is extreme in his sovereignty and in his majesty. He is high and lifted up. He is of higher rank and higher value than anything on this planet, than any spiritual force of darkness. That's your God. Come on, just focus on God Most High. There's no idol. There's no God. There's no created being that should be worshiped or exalted over the Lord your God. He is superior in every way. And in that Scripture, Melchizedek told Abraham, bless. If you got to get on your knees or on your face and lift up your hands, you bless God Most High. So just for a moment, bless it. Praise Him. Would you claim Him? Would you just declare right now, in whatever battle you're in, God, You are the Most High. You can deliver me. If God Most High is for you, come on, who can be against you? Come on, bless Him. praise Him. He is high and exalted, and listen, He's a God who sees. He sees you. Come on, can you remember the story with me as we just bless God tonight? God had promised Abraham and Sarah a son, and yet 10 years in, no son. And so they take matters into their own hands. They do what everybody else in culture was doing. They give Sarah's maid, a little Egyptian teenage girl named Hagar, to Abraham as a wife. Now, can you just imagine? Look, we think about Abraham and Sarah, they're messing up. Would you think about that little girl away from her mama and her daddy, being given to some old man, told she's going to bear a child for him? What do you think she's feeling? And then whenever she actually conceives, her mistress turns on her and kicks her out of the house and says, get away from here. And so she's running in the wilderness. She's alone. She's isolated. What do you think she's feeling? You see her? Scared? Disgusted? Angry? Hurt? Wounded? Yet the angel of the Lord comes to her and says, Hagar, God sees you. And He sees that little baby boy growing in your belly. And I'm declaring over you, there's a future for you. And she says, you are the God who sees. Would you just magnify God for being the God who sees you? He sees it. He sees it. Declare it. Claim it. God, you see it all. You see it all. Look, you see my P28. Whatever your P28, would you just declare God sees it right now? He's exalted over it, and He sees it. Would you claim this, that not only does He see now the hurt, the pain that you have, but He sees the future and He sees the answer? Would you just declare, God, you're the God who sees it all. You see it all. Worship and bless Him. Thirteen years later, after having a child with Hagar, outside of God's promise, God spoke to Abraham again. Abraham's 99 years old at this point. And God gives him a revelation of a new name. He says, I'm God Almighty. He starts the conversation there. I'm God Almighty. There's nothing I can't do. Not a problem I can't fix. The Latin word is omnipotent. The Greek concept is He's all-powerful. And God says to this 100-year-old man, you may think you're past my ability to keep my promise, but you're about to be a daddy. Not just a father, but you're going to be a father of nations. And God started that conversation with Abraham, not with the promise, but with His name. I'm God Almighty. Trust me and see. Would you just minister that name back to God right now? He's Almighty. Nothing He can't do. Would you just tell Him that? Would you praise Him and bless Him in that? Come on, this is your prayer. This is your night of prayer. You're ministering to the Lord. This is more important to your P28 than you can imagine right now. You're declaring, God, there ain't nothing you can't do. God, you are all powerful. And would you claim that right now? Claim the God of all power is on your side. And you bring your P28 under the all powerful God Almighty. Maybe ask God Almighty for the strength to stand. stand and to pray and to walk and to live. He's God Almighty. And he says, I'm with you. I see you. God revealed himself through a really, really heart-wrenching story in the scripture where God asked Abraham to sacrifice that miracle child that God had given. Y'all remember in Genesis 22, you remember the story God says to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice this child to me now, trust me. He's the child of promise. He's the way the nations are going to come, but I need you to sacrifice him to me. And you remember Abraham takes his son Isaac and some wood and some donkeys and some servants, and they ride for a piece, and then they see Mount Moriah in the distance, and Abraham and Isaac take the wood and the fire and the knife, and they go toward the mountain, and Isaac says, Daddy, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says to his son, God's going to provide the sacrifice. He already had. Y'all remember that story? I couldn't do that, I don't believe. But they get up there, and you know the story. Abraham binds Isaac and raises the knife, and God says, stop. I know now that you fear me, that you've wanted my face more than my hand. And in just that moment, God showed him a ram that was caught in the thicket, and that became the sacrifice. And Abraham named the mountain, the Lord will provide. We often say it's God's name, God provides, and he does, but he named the mountain, on this mountain, God will provide. Now, here's what's cool. Mount Moriah is the site of Jerusalem. Jerusalem became the site of the temple. But more importantly for you and me, Jerusalem is where Jesus was crucified for us. And God provided for your sin and mine. He provided his own sacrifice. So would you just minister to God? Would you just bless God for being a great provider for your sinfulness? Bless him. Praise him. He did what we couldn't. I couldn't. Bless him. And would you claim what the scripture says, that if God gave you his son, how will he not also with him give you everything you need? And so would you just say to God, God, I know that whatever I need, you're going to give me exactly what I need, exactly when I need it. And so I claim that. God, I rest in that. I rest in that with my P28. You're the provider for me. Blessing the Lord. Ministering to him. If you haven't been praying about your own P28, hey, I want to give you a minute or two right here to just pray. You just pray your P28 before the Lord. You claim the names of Jesus over that, and in just a moment our campus leaders are going to come and lead us to pray together. But would you just take a moment and pray?
God is building a spiritual house right now. You can feel the faith being built in the room. Thank you, God, for just being present in this moment. you're just so strong and powerful and mighty. God, thank you for answering prayers even right now before we see the reality of them here. Thank you, God. We've got a couple things we want to pray for here at the Reservoir Campus. And it's going to take us to move a little bit and to move our posture just a little bit. So just like Chip mentioned about standing up or kneeling or moving around and just getting together, would you mind standing up right now and find two or three other people and just kind of step toward them, put your hand out and introduce them and say, hey, hello, my name is, just go for it, come on. That's right. We're just going to push past the awkwardness here a little bit. We're going to do some praying, you know what I'm saying? We're just going to move in and pray together. So let's do it. Let's look at your friend and say, hey, you're a new friend, and we're going to pray right now. Let's do this. Hey, would you spend a moment right now thanking God for your salvation? Would you just spend a moment just together, just a couple people voice a prayer in that circle and just say, thank you, God, that we're a part of your family. Our identity today is that we are a son and a daughter of yours. That is powerful. Come on, let's do that. All the rights and privileges of a son. Would you spend a moment right now just thanking God and giving him praise for the richness of his word, that we can hold his holy scripture in our hand every day and we can glean from him and he can speak to us. Would you just give him praise right now for that, that God is good through his word and he speaks to us every day. Come on, let's pray together. When you look back on your life and you see the circumstances of your life and you just notice how there are God markers all through your life, how God has shown up at different times in your life, would you just voice some prayers of thankfulness and gratefulness to God that he's shown up just in a powerful way? Without God, those moments would have just wrecked you and ruined you, but no, God stepped in. Just give God praise for that right now. Thank you. And God, it's just so good to seek your face. It's so good, God, to know that you're with us and you're powerful. Hey, would you take a moment and pray for some radical life change in Rankin County? Would you take a moment and just pour your heart out to God? God, we want to see Mississippi changed, one life change story at a time. Give me eyes for broken people so that I can love them the way that you love them. Come on, let's pray. Let's ask God. Let's ask God for an awesome outpouring of salvations in this place, for life change that will be unparalleled. Come on, let's do it together. Come on. Would you right now pray for the pastors and elders of our church and the deacons of our church as they lead, that God would give them wisdom and discernment. This prayer movement doesn't just stop after 28 days, right? I mean, it's who we are. It's the fabric of who I want to be, and it's the fabric of what our leaders are leading us to become. So would you please pray right now that our leaders would have the stamina and the courage to lead a countercultural movement, a movement that puts God first in prayer. Come on, let's do that. Let's pray for them. Would you please pray now for the future of what God can do in our church? Let's pray for the future. We haven't even seen it yet. We don't know what it's going to look like, but God's already there. He's not saying go there. He's saying come here, because he's already there. And he wants to see our state, our county, our schools, our government. He wants to see our lives changed. So come on, let's pray about the future of what God can do. Let's just open up the opportunity and possibility for what God can do here. Powerful. Thank you. And so, God, we just say we want you to blow the lid off this place with your Holy Spirit, God. We just believe that you're enough. You're more than enough. You're King. You're powerful. You're holy. You're mighty. And so, God, we just believe and trust in you that you have the best plan for us right now. God, you are seeing the prayers of your people, and you are so pleased and happy, and you're joyful. God, I pray that these prayers would be just an aroma to you, God, that it would be holy and pleasing unto you. They would come from a pure heart. And God, that this movement would not just stop when we leave the room, but it would leave with us, God, and would go to where we work tomorrow. And it would go on the road with us tomorrow as we drive. And it would go tomorrow with our homes, our families, sitting around the table. God, we desire to be men and women who are sold out for the gospel. That's our heart, God. And so, Lord, right now, as we just praise and worship you, God, would you just lift our hearts and our eyes up to you, God. You are where our help comes from, God, and we put all of our faith and hope in you, God. In Jesus' name.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held by your hands. Thank you for that tonight. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Come on, sing all my life. All my life, you have been faithful. Goodness of God.
Cause all my life you have been faithful. Thank you, Jesus. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I inhale, oh, I will see of the goodness of God. I will sing, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will. Oh, yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. You tonight. Come on, would you give him praise tonight? God, thank you that you meet us. Thank you that you invite us in your presence. And thank you that you're making us more like you, Jesus. We seek you. We desire to become a people that pursue your face. We love you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Hey, thank you guys so much for joining us in worship tonight. See you back on Sunday and then back here next Tuesday night. You guys are dismissed.